Let's go down to verse number 9 together. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 9. And again, this is one of those passages of scriptures that you've heard before. You know the story of Ruth. What a beautiful, beautiful book this is. What a wonderful story of grace. What a wonderful story of God's moving in this young lady's life. Verse number 9 says, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." Verse number 12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Lord, would you help me just in this short few moments that we have, that I would be able to challenge each and every one of our hearts, myself included, to be drawn closer to you, to consider more of how we can serve you, especially in the area of missions, especially in the area of ministering right here in a mission field in North Georgia or around the world. God, would you please challenge our hearts tonight, we pray in your name. As I look at this passage of scripture, I love this because this passage here, you know the story. Ruth is now gleaning in Boaz's field. Boaz, in verse number 4, has shown up back home and he's looking out, surveying all of his property, and he knows all the people that normally work there, except for that one woman that's over there. And he calls all of his guys together and says, hey, y'all, who's that good looking woman out there? That's a little bit of the Alabama version of it, but I believe that's what he was saying. And they said, well, you know who that is. That's Ruth. She came back with Naomi, her mother-in-law. You remember her husband died and her father-in-law died, her brother-in-law died, and they're all back here and they don't have anything. I mean, they don't have a man to take care of them. This is a male-dominated society. They don't have anyone to take care of them, so they're here working. She's here gleaning so that she's been here all morning. She's been here all day working out in the fields. And so Boaz calls her over, and that's where we pick up in verse number 9 as he's looking at her and he says, listen, Ruth, I want to do something special in your life. This evening, I hope you realize that God wants to do special in your life. Amen. God wants to do things great in your life. God wants to open up opportunities for you that you don't really understand. Just like Ruth is sitting here, she's going, hey, I don't understand this. Why would you be so good to me? Why do you want to pour out these blessings on me? Why would you be so kind to me? You don't even know me. I'm a stranger. I feel like that sometimes to God. God, why would you be so good to me? I mean, I mess up all the time. I have faults and failures. I go back to my old ways. I'm a sinful man. God, why would you love me so much? I see it all the time when I travel. While in West Africa, a lady walks up to me and she hands me this baby literally starving to death. The skin's so tight around this baby's body. I'm looking at this baby and I'm crying and weeping, saying, God, would you save this baby's life? And God, why wouldn't this me someday? Or why is it that I have 4 children back home, fat little piglets with a pantry full of food? God, why are you good to me? I don't get it sometimes. God, why do you do these great things? And even as Boaz responds to Ruth that day and he says, hey, it's all because the family you chose to be a part of. It's all because the God that you've put your trust in. I've been good to you. And I think God's good to us, not just so we can hoard it to ourselves, but so that we can be good to other people, so that we can proclaim his grace, so that we can show his love to other people. And this day, as Ruth is standing in front of Boaz, I'd like to look at verse number 9 as he starts off here and he says, hey, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. I think what he first wants to tell Ruth is, listen, if you want to see how good I can be to you, if you want to see these incredible blessings that I have for your life, number one, I want you to be focused. I want you to be laser focused, Ruth. Listen, this field right here is for you. Don't worry about what's going on over here in the soybeans. Don't worry about what's going on over the corn over here. Don't worry about what's going on in the cotton fields back there. No, this one right here, this is your field, and I want you to be focused in what I'm trying to give to you right here. You know, you and I as Christians, if we would say, hey, like in Colossians 3:23, that whatever we found to do, that we would do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. In Galatians 6:9, that we would not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If we would say, God, what you've given me here, the ministry that you've called me to, the community that you've brought me into, the workplace that you've given me, the family members that I have, God, would you help me to be so focused in reaching them for your honor, for your glory, I think we would see so many blessings pour out in our life. Shamefully, so many times we as American Christians, we get so focused on what everybody else has, don't we? I wish I had that house. Wish I had that job. I wish that was my income. I wish I was that talented. I wish that I was had those kind of looks, or I wish I had that personality. And that's not what God has given to you. That is not what God has called you to. I want to encourage you this evening, ladies and gentlemen, that we would say, God, help me to be focused in what you've given to me to bring honor and glory to you. That in every step that I take, and that everything I do in this field that you've called me to, that you and you alone would be the center of my focus. He tells Ruth here, he says, listen, let thine eyes be on this field. Go after this field, continues to say. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. I like this because as I'm thinking of this passage of scripture, I think he's telling her, hey, listen, be focused, but then be following. You go out there and you get to work, Ruth. I want you to be focused on this. Get out there, follow those workers, because I've got great things in store for you. You see, you and I, we may recognize that God's called us to live in this community. We may recognize the fact that God's blessed us with this job or with this family or with those finances or whatever it may be. But it's a totally different ballgame when we understand that God's not only called and given me these things, but that I'm supposed to be working in what he's called me to do. This is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? This is where it says, hey, listen, Ruth, I don't want you just to know that this field is for you. I want you to get out there and serve in it. You see, he owned the field. He could have told all the workers, hey, guys, y'all bring a big old bag of that up here. I want y'all to bring it all up here. Ruth, I don't want you to, you're not even going to have a drop of sweat come off your brow. I'm going to give it all to you. That's not what he chose to do. God could have used the angels to proclaim his gospel message, but that's not what he's chosen to do. He has called you and I. He's commissioned every one of us. He has directly told us that it is our responsibility to go and share the gospel with every creature. And so this is where it becomes our responsibility to follow after what he's called us to do and to actually get out there and work. Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh God, help us to say, you know what? God's called me to this community and I'm going to do my best. I'm not only going to say I want to be a Sunday school teacher, but I'm going to be the best Sunday school teacher there is. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to prepare, and I'm going to visit, and I'm going to pour my heart and soul into those children. God's called me to work in that nursing home ministry, or sing in that choir, or to serve in this ministry, or that. I'm going to give it everything I possibly can, because that's my field. Tonight, we need Christians who would take it seriously and say, you know what? God's called me to it, and I'm going to love it. I'm going to be focused on it, and I'm going to follow every step that he leads me to and bring honor and glory to his name, reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Hey, Ruth, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. I like how he goes on, though, and this is kind of one of those quid pro quos, this for that agreement that he's willing to make with Ruth. He says, listen, if you're willing to go into that field and remember that this field is yours and go out there and work, because Ruth, it's going to be work now. I mean, it's hot out here. You're wearing those long flowing robes of the time. You're going to be stooping down and picking up and putting it into that bag, stooping down, picking up, putting that bag. The bag's going to get heavier as you're dragging it. And then the work's still not over. You got to go out there and fix the food, and you've got to make this edible. There's a lot of work that's going to go into this, Ruth. But if you'll work, here's what I'm telling you, I'm willing to do for you. He says, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Now, this is beautiful, and it's one of those passages that's really easy to kind of overlook when we first read it here. But whenever I think about this passage of scripture, and I think about what he's teaching Ruth and what he's trying to help her to understand, I think what he wants her to know is while she's out there, he's going to keep her safe. Again, it's a male-dominated society. Hey, lady, get out of the way. We're trying to work here. It would have been nothing for these men to push her aside. It would have been nothing for them to raise a hand to her, because that's the way the society worked at this time. But he says, listen, I want you to know that when you're out here in my field, you've got my protection over you. Man, I love that. People ask me all the time, Bradley, you get nervous about going to these countries? Bradley, do you ever get scared about going into West Africa where there's so many of the radical extreme Muslims? Bradley, do you ever get scared about going over into Asia where there's people that are willing to do harm to Christians who are trying to convert people out of their religious beliefs? And to be honest with you, I don't. I'm more scared of Baltimore traffic where I live than I am going to these countries. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not. I'll tell you this story really fast, and I got to hurry. We were in Haiti right after the earthquake, and we were working right outside of the city there. Our hospital area where we were working, we were an orthopedic trauma team. So we're doing amputations, rescisions. We were setting broken bones. We were just, I mean, we were overrun by patients. So much so that the crowd outside of the wall that was still waiting to get in to receive help, we took a medical team out there. We were triaging patients, trying to weed through who were the most serious and who could go home. And our medical team was out there working when all of a sudden a few men came riding up on these mopeds. They were all, they rode up on these mopeds with their jerseys on and gold chains. I called them Hades Angels. They came riding up and they were staring us down. And we had two guys that were with Homeland Security that were there as our security guards. They had guns and they were dressed in scrubs just like everybody else was, but they were prepared to protect us. And one of them walked up to me. He said, "Bradley, we're about to get robbed." He said, "Those two guys over there, they're casing us here. Those two guys, they're looking at the folks over here." He said, "We're going to get robbed in just a minute. We need to act quickly to protect ourselves." I said, "All right, let me go tell all the ladies to get inside the walls here, and then we'll worry about the equipment later." So I went over and just said, "Hey, let's take a break. Everybody walk inside. I'll stay out here with your equipment, get a quick rest, get some water, and then we'll come back out to work in just a minute." Meanwhile, he's over there taking pictures of each one of these guys. I mean, right up in their face. He was so bold just taking pictures. And he said, "I'm just getting y'all's picture in case something happens. I want to remember what y'all look like." And I'm sitting there thinking, "Lord, please don't let this happen. You know, what are we going to do?" And all of a sudden, I heard this loud noise. There was dust come flying out of the back walls. I could see dust flying up over the walls of the hospital as the road kind of wrapped around the hospital. And this loud noise, and all of a sudden around the corner come flying these Hummers. These Humvees come flying up, and they slammed on brakes. And all of a sudden all these soldiers popped out of the Hummer. This guy comes walking over, and in plain English, American English, he looks and says, "Who's in charge here?" I said, "I am." He said, "Well, my name is Sergeant So-and-so from the 82nd Airborne Division. We're with the United States Army, and we're here on a UN peacekeeping mission, and you're in our safety zone." I said, "Lord, bless you. Thank you so much." And he said, "Are you worried about these fellows right over here on these motorcycles?" I said, "Well, we actually were just about to talk to them." He said, "Well, we've been tracking them. We know they're looters. We know that there are problems." He said, "They're the reason why we came here. We've been looking for these fellows." He said, "Give me just a minute to talk to them." He went over and used some American military terms that I dare not repeat. And the next thing you know, they pulled off, left, and we never saw them again. I say that to tell you this. When you're serving in the field God has for you, when you're focused and you're following after His plan for your life, you got nothing to worry about. He will protect you. When you say, "Well, Bradley, that's not necessarily true. I know missionaries who've lost their lives. I know other people who've lost their health, or they've lost their finances," or whatever it may be. May I tell you that this life is just a short glimmer of what eternity is going to be like? And if I lose it here on this earth, so what? I've got so much more to gain on the other side of this. I am so thankful that while I may give my body on this earth, my soul is eternally protected by His mighty hand, and I can serve Him without reservation because I know I'm serving where He's called me to go. So Ruth, you go out there. Don't you worry about those men. Don't you worry about what they say. Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 25. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." Lastly, he says, "Hey, I've told these young men they're not going to touch you," but he goes on in that last part of the verse, "And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." I like that he looks at her. He says, "Hey, Ruth, listen, I'm going to keep you safe and I'm going to give you your supply. When it gets hot, when you get thirsty, because it is going to get hot, it is going to make you wear your parched, and you're going to need refreshing. Your soul is going to be needing that recharge, that re-energizing. I've got it already waiting for you." In fact, that's what it says. That word vessel that they've prepared aforetime, it's already there waiting on you. All you've got to go is go take what God has got prepared for you. Listen, if you're worried about how he's going to give you the right words to say, don't you worry. You step out in faith and you just start trying to share the gospel message. If you're worried about if you'll have enough money to go and live on the field, don't you worry about that. God will provide for you. If you're worried about tithing, if you're worried about faith promise, if you're worried about raising your kids and letting them go serve God somewhere, don't you worry about any of those things. He will meet all the needs that you will ever have because he's already got it. Just trust him. Just trust him. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, nor the body for raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You just go in your field. You let God handle all those things. You let God supply your needs. You let God give you the security you need. You be focused. You be following. Verse number 23, and I'm done. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean. Listen to the next three words. Unto the end. She stayed at it unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. You know, I really don't care where they bury my body. I don't care where they put it. I don't care if they give me a fancy casket or just an old pine box. I don't care about that either. But I hope to goodness that it could be said of me one day that Bradley just stayed by it till the end. And I'm not trying to sound super spiritual. I just hope and pray that God gives me that type of constitution. That until the day I die, I stayed in the field God called me to.
Amen,
that I served at it the best I possibly could. And I don't say that to sound super spiritual, but that you and I can both agree on that. God, help us to be faithful to the end. Oh, the harvest is ready, y'all. I've seen it. It is red, yellow, black, and white unto harvest. Yeah. There are people all over the face of this earth that need to hear the gospel message that you've heard so clearly so many times. Are you going to get out there in the field? Right here in the Athens area or abroad? I believe with all my heart God wants to use each and every one of us for his honor and glory. Let's get after it. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your many blessings. I'm so thankful for this passage of scripture and how you've used it in my life. Oh God, I'm thankful for how time after time after time you've spoken to me, you've encouraged me, you've challenged me. And God, tonight, would you help each and every one of us just to take a moment to take a realistic thought about our lives? Are we actively involved in what you've called us to do? Lord, maybe there's some folks in here tonight that just need to pause and say, God, what do you want me to do? Maybe there's not been a time where we've recognized the field that you've called us to, but I believe with all my heart, every one of us has been placed on this earth not to just be saved and to sit around, but to be saved and serving you, to be reaching other people. So God, right now in the quietness of this moment, would you help us to take inventory of our life, of our actions, of our priorities? And God, help us to maybe take time now to rearrange those things where you and you alone sit at the top, where you and you alone receive all the honor and glory, where you are using us to bring others to your saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're here this evening, I don't know you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in this world, I promise. But if you're here and you say, hey, brother, would you pray for me? If I'm honest, I've never really even taken the time to ask God, God, what would you have me do with my life? But if that's you tonight and you say, Bradley, would you pray that I'd have that courage, that I would take a moment and ask God how he would use me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand and put it right back down? Anybody like that? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Several hands raised. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Bradley, I have asked God that, and I do know how he wants me to serve or how he wants me to be used. But if I'm honest, man, there's some other things that have gotten in the way, and I just haven't been serving the way I should. I haven't been in my field trying to reap that harvest that he's called me to like I should. And so, Bradley, pray for me that I'd get back at it, that I would stay faithful to the end. Bradley, pray for me tonight. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand, put it right back down? Thank you. Several hands raised. Well, I think in just a moment the pianos begin to play, and maybe you need to just take a few seconds here, come to the altar, and just speak to the Lord about it. Amen. And ask him to do something in your life. Help us all to be back on track serving him that way. Lord, bless this time of invitation. Thank you for bringing us here together. And we ask these things in your name. Amen, Pastor.